Hello, Tom.
Hey, we're back.
We're back. Welcome to Give Us Lunch Co's, everybody.
And Tater Tot says hi. Aggressively.
Yeah, when this comes out, the bear is back, of which I've totally watched it, that new season, because I'm totally not recording this before it comes out.
Of course. But yeah, speaking of the bear, I did an interview.
Ooh.
Yeah, I brought something for us for the episode. I hope you enjoy. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. It's Tom. Thanks for joining us. So now it's my turn to do an interview, and we got a special one today here. I have not only a coworker of mine, but a good friend, Angel Fernandez. Hey, man, how you doing?
Former coworker.
True, that's right, former. He's got big stuff in Ohio, but he made time for us before the big move to do a great interview for Give Us the Launch Codes here. Today, folks, we're going to talk about dining, specifically the fine dining experience. We have a Michelin star chef here with us, folks. Angel, how you doing?
I'm okay, awake, settling my tummy.
Me and my buddy were, curious, Travis, you've met him, about what that world is. Because most of the time, the average American, their sit-down restaurant experience is really just, El Torito, California, CPK, the California Pizza Kitchen. You got even Hoff's Hut, and then, sometimes like Fish Company here, the Los Sal. So very just simple. Either like a small mom and dad that's only for like that specific city, and it's really like maybe $50 a plate, or the chain restaurants that every American knows, like I said, El Torito, for example. So you being a Michelin star chef, we're curious, what is that world? What makes that world just a notch above?
Like what separates it from the only requirement you need for a sit-down restaurant is a table?
Yeah. Like what? You bring us into your world.
Well, one is clientele. Like there has to be a dress code the higher up you get, and stars just, I have no idea why, but it just seems to get that way. The more stars you have, the less variety you get in your clients.
Okay. That's interesting.
Like I say less variety. They're all going to look the same to me because people eating with their disgusting mouths.
We're all just animals. We're all pigs at the trough to you.
Yes. Some have more money than others. That's generally like what it boils down to.
Okay.
Like you will see what regular people call famous. Those famous people, they don't give a shit about each other. Like maybe like for pro athletes, you'll see like some CEO or a tech bro that's like got a bit of extra money that can afford to go eat at those places.
Yeah.
They'll see like actual celebrities or pro athletes, and then they'll lose their shit. But everybody else is just like, oh, hey, what's up, freaking Tom Morello? The fucking one place that I did a nice little stint at, like, it was a golf course. So that one was a Michelin star level. But I saw a lot of the players, like the hockey players that I used to feed, like during season, they're in their off season. They're just like, they'd stop and look at me like, the hell? Like, why are you you're back here, blah, blah, blah. But the people like that were residents at the golf course, like they knew them, they've met them before. They do not give a shit about them anymore. They're like, oh, hey, it's a nice little passing. Oh, hey, what's up? Like what you do to a neighbor. But yeah, that is generally like the, what I would say is the biggest difference outside of like process for like actually cooking the food is just the clientele. But
that's really it.
That's really the biggest difference is clientele, the snootiness of like the front of house staff that you're gonna see and actually interact with.
Is there, out of curiosity, because I think you did touch on this, but I just wanted to ask it to make sure, is the number of seats at this restaurant usually smaller the higher your stars get, or is it about the same on par with like an El Torito, for example, or a CPK?
Like that's not so much like a standard because there's a few people like there's one gentleman that has a food truck as his Michelin star restaurant.
That's wow. Okay.
Yeah. His food, like when we talk Michelin stars, Michelin star is like the original rating is you want to go to this place. You want to make this place a stop on your trip.
Oh,
I believe what was the old tale that everybody told me? Like, yeah, the Michelin star rating was developed by the Michelin tire company. And that was their program. They would give you a pamphlet with different places, like, and they would rate these food places or these destinations 1 to 5 stars.
Okay.
And then you're like, hey, you want to go to these places while like you're getting your tires changed or whatever. And they would do that. So like your tires would burn out on the way there. And you'd have to buy new tires.
And eat.
Yeah.
So basically the Michelin star system, it started as basically just a foodie road trip guide kind of thing.
Pretty
to
much.
Give you suggestions. And now it's become this hodgepodge, you know, snobby, posh thing.
Yeah. Well,
right?
The Michelin star, like, board that actually, like, gives out these stars and, like, rates places and rates restaurants, they're not that snobby.
Okay.
It's the people who either own the restaurant or are working the restaurant, like your head chef or maitre d', depending on like what location, they're what introduced that level of snobbiness. Because like, oh, now we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard, blah, blah, blah. That's why I love this freaking food truck dude. It's chicken and rice. That's basically it. But he has the best damn chicken and rice that he does. And it's like Michelin star worthy. So I can't really say anything, but.
Okay, so someone found a way to like say like, okay, I'll play the systems game my way.
Pretty much. It worked out for him, but like as far as like number of seats go, like there is that dude who has literally no chairs, no tables whatsoever that's still Michelin star rated. And then you have like Gordon Ramsay's restaurants that go from, oh, you can seat like 200 people like in like proper dining arrangement, like four to a table, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has some that are like, okay, there's like 25 for this. It's just the feel of the restaurant, what the owner actually wants to do it.
Okay.
So like that's completely up in the air to whoever happens to be in charge
of the establishment itself.
Yeah, of the establishment.
Okay, that's good. And then out of curiosity too, what got you into the culinary arts?
I needed money.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah, no.
Is it a good way to make a living?
Oh, God, yeah. If you don't like seeing your family, you don't like having time off, you're a whore like me, and you want to, like, meet people, it's a great way to do it, especially, like, if you're younger, because there's always somebody who's like, hey, like, can I go home? Like, hey, do you want clothes for me or whatever? Or, like, hey, somebody's calling out, like, you take over for this. If you're young and you're fast and you're relatively clean, you can be working literally all day long, making overtime, double time every single day that you want. And because restaurants, like especially like the more fast-paced restaurants, are so very understaffed for that reason, that it's just bullshit constantly, you can make a lot of money. How you end up spending that money is a completely different story.
It's almost like you, to a degree, can work as long as you want for how long you want, and then you can just keep racking up that dough.
Essentially, it depends. Again, like there's like caveats everywhere you go with it. Like if you're at a corporate,
like an establishment, like, name chain.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have their more laws and legal rules they follow,
like,
by.
Yeah, they'll like try to stick to whatever states. Labor board rules are, like California, they have to follow certain rules.
It's like the 6 hours, just 6 hours, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But then like other places that are more mom and pa, like very, very small, just that one brick and mortar. It's more of like, you'll be here 16 hours and don't worry, you'll get paid.
Essentially.
Like, that's interesting.
One of my first chef gigs was an under the table, like, okay, you get salary. You get salary, you're here. Depending on whether or not we actually get a call from somebody saying they're not going to come in to close, you may have to stay longer, but ideally just stay until the next person actually comes in and clocks in. And sometimes they were either really late, they never showed up, or what have you.
So if a person didn't have a passion for cooking, like a passion for that world, and they were young, like you're saying, like let's say fresh out of high school, maybe they're not going to college, or they are, but it's not serious, they're just trying to find their way. Would you recommend that to just people fresh out of college? I mean, sorry, fresh out of high school, I mean. Hey, fresh out of high school, you're not maybe going to college, or you're not serious about a major, you just want a job, you have all this free time now. Something just at least to make some quick money for at least a couple of years. Like you're working your ass off hard to the bone, but you'll have something out of it at the end if you're smart with it. So, would you recommend that?
If you're cooking, no. Like if you have aspirations and dreams that don't involve culinary, do not go in at like as
Any
a line
restaurant
cook.
business. Yeah,
No,
okay.
you can go into the restaurant business. You can like front of house servers, bartenders. Those are great ways to make money. Like especially like those shifts generally usually end up being shorter
Okay.
for like okay, we really only need a full team during our busy like our busy bit. Like either lunch or
Lunch
dinner
rush, dinner
rush,
rush, yeah.
depending on the restaurant, their breakfast, like we'll have maybe like 12 actual like servers, six runners of just running food back and forth just to help them out, maybe like one or two buses extra. After that, everybody just starts getting cut immediately. Like while the tables are still like there,
You know when
like
there's going to
that,
be butts in the seats.
like when where there's people still like in their tables, like they'll start cutting bussers, they'll cut the runners. It's just whoever has active tables open in their section will usually end up staying. And then like maybe one or two after that to help with the transition for the next rush that we're expecting.
Okay.
So like front of house, yeah, go. If you want to make money, tips are great. Was I had one server girl. Her shifts were like lunch and dinner. Her lunch rush, like 500 bucks in tips.
Wow, just the lunch.
Yeah, just for lunch. And that's not even like we didn't serve alcohol until like 5 p.m.
And
So
then she got
yeah,
like,
like at dinner rush, she was making money. She was making my paycheck in a night.
damn.
So, but then again, she was very conventionally pretty.
Well,
Like,
yeah, we all know that.
yeah,
We
like
all
if the
know
prettier you
that
are, the better you're gonna do in
in the
front of
front of the
house.
house, yeah. Back of the house, it's like just be amazingly good at what you're doing.
Just be autistic. That's all we want in the back of the house.
That's
Be
a,
autistic.
be on detail oriented to the
Yes. That's why I did so, that's why I did relatively well.
Okay, so if you want just a stream of cash coming in, front of the house. If you are passionate as hell, back of the house is where you want to be. Interesting. And that's, did you fall under both because you wanted money and you also have that detail oriented, like you said?
Yeah. Well, again, the autism made it really hard for me to leave. Because I'm like, wow, okay, I can do this consistently. Here's my little bit of dopamine that I get. Every plate that I make, like, oh, I'm cooking with fire. It's warm in here. Oh, look, sparks. This is fantastic. Every little bit just gave me that, just hit my pleasure button.
It's the equivalent of playing Resident Evil 4 with the item management in your suitcase. It's like,
Pretty
ah, oh,
much.
yes, it's organized again.
It works. It's beautiful.
I didn't have to discard a thing.
Yes.
It's color coordinated.
Like that whole thing. That's really what kept me there was the instant gratification for everything that I'm doing. And it every day felt like a new little puzzle for me to fuck around with.
That's awesome. Okay. So then, here's one thing then. So, you focus your career then is all back of the house. Curious question because me and my buddy Travis here, we watch a lot of TV, and if we listen to the podcast, we do reference a lot of like shows to real life and vice versa. There's a lot of culinary movies and shows out there. For example, there was Burnt with Bradley Cooper. There's obviously Pixar's big film Ratatouille that everyone knows.
Chef with
There's
Favreau.
exactly Chef with Favreau. It should have been just called Chef with Favreau.
Man,
And then there's obviously the big hit happening right now, The Bear.
they're coming up
On
with a new season,
FX,
huh?
yeah, season four. Like it's clockwork every year. Out of all the shows that I listed, and maybe some I didn't know that you know, especially maybe some of the anime ones, who gets the culinary world right and who gets it wrong?
I do have to give it to the bear.
Okay.
Like, not. Obviously, not everything. Like, there are like chefs that are like assholes to the extreme or perfectionists that they care and they just want things to be like great. They generally don't get to that level of, oh, like, I feel like I am watching Shameless with you in it. This is really the spin-off of Shameless that I wanted. But like, they're like, but service and like somebody like a younger chef, especially. Trying to get into that Michelin star level, like few guys that I have met, that have gone to culinary school have like a similar mentality that I've seen. Like, I haven't watched a show. It's like a lot of commercials and like YouTube shorts.
But what you've seen is getting there.
Like, from what I've seen, like, it's very, like, I have met some people like that, but not like the, what was one that I saw that was like, oh shit, I've done that. I believe I saw a short of, our main character, Lip, like hiring, I think it's his cousin or his like brother in the show. Like the drug addict convict, right?
Yeah.
Like I have hired like those people in general. They try to be like the very best. They try very hard to not, fall back into like old habits that will get them fired. Like,
or back in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, so though you're saying you've hired people who are like this. Oh, I know they won't mess up because they can't afford it.
Yeah, there's those people that I've hired. There are, like, I have gone out of my way to hire meth heads specifically because they clean.
They'll clean to microscopic level, those dishes.
No. Once they get into a certain process, the world is gone. They can do that all day long. Like, I will sometimes go out and like, hey, you want $50 to clean some shit? He's like, yeah, man. And you can tell in their eyes, like, honey, I can afford my shots.
Wow.
But yeah, so like there are like instances where that happens. Like, even like 7-Elevens, you see like people hiring homeless, and like they'll come in just to fill. Like, sometimes like they'll get a longer spot. Like, I've given one meth head that I knew, Carlos, he followed me for a good minute. He was there for maybe 3-4 years.
Damn. And he was just perfect?
He was perfect. I had to tell him, like, don't let me catch you doing anything. Don't give anybody a reason to come by and tell me that you're doing something, because I will do my fucking job and I will have to fire you. I like you. Don't make me do my goddamn job.
You know what's funny that you bring that up? In The Bear, I think the season 2 finale, they had a guy in there who was food prep, and he was just lightning speed, just everything all of a sudden was like in a blink of an eye, slice, 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 cube, dice, boom, boom, boom. Then they couldn't find him for like a good hot minute. And when they finally find him, he's in the back of the alley smoking crack, and he's like, oh, am I still fired? Like, most likely, man, but I'm going to go talk to the boss. I have to report this. I'm sorry. Just wait here. Hey, I found Greg in the back smoking crack. Oh, yeah, that's why we can't find him. No, he's fired. Yeah, I assumed he was. I just wanted to ask. No, he's gone. Like, he's just done. Good to know. Okay, I'll go let him know.
Basically that. Just don't give somebody, don't give your bosses to give you the, that. Don't give your bosses a reason to do their job, especially if you know that you will get fired.
So when speaking of hiring, since you said you've hired people before, were you specifically then, when filling certain roles, looking for the, not the perfectionist, but you have no choice to be but perfect?
Not all the time.
But for certain roles, you looked for that.
Generally for somebody that's going to be handling the food, like actually cooking, that's going to be on the line doing saute, grill, or like fryer or salads or whatever. Anybody that's going to be in direct contact with the food, I try to limit my options to somebody that actually has a good amount of experience, because that way, like, I'll look at like what experience that they have. Like, if it's Cheesecake Factory, generally I like those people. They're like, they handle their shit well. They have a very diverse menu, so they're most of the time they're not going to be going like, we didn't used to do this at my old spot, blah blah blah. They know. They get corporate people switching out for their management all the time. They're used to actual work, versus somebody that has only done like a golf course. Because I've met those guys like straight out culinary school into like a hotel setting or the golf course setting. That's all they know. We're like, that's nice. It's good to know. Like, I know that you have like some experience. Like plating, you're gonna be like, everything's gonna look a certain way. It's gonna take fucking forever because it's not to order most of the time, right? Like, so like those people I'll tend to stay away from unless I have like a desserts position open, that like they're, what they're gonna be doing is that all day long. They're not taking any orders or not filling. They're not doing anything for any table. Their job is to do one thing all day long. I can hire them for that. But anybody else, I'll be looking at mom and pop spots. I'll be looking at high volume areas. Like, I'll take a McDonald's worker for my line over somebody that has only had big plating gigs. So, like, again, golf courses and hotels and stuff.
Right.
Like, they don't have the speed or the experience with heavy volume that I want.
Would you say they also don't have the improvisational too?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You need improv is a big thing in the back.
Improv should be limited to your supervisors, like your line leads,
uh-huh,
and your chefs.
Okay.
It should be limited to them, because if there's something that, like, you don't know, or like if somebody has an allergy, or if, like, you don't know what we can replace this with, or if there's a gluten-free alternative or whatever, you want to ask your chef, because then it falls on them. So if they fuck up, it's not on you. Nothing happens to you. You're fine.
The lobster's still alive on the plate. The lobster's still alive.
Yeah, essentially. They're like, chef, we don't have this. Like, somebody broke the tool. We can't do this anymore. The chef should know more shortcuts for their kitchen than anybody else. If you ask, hey, chef, we don't have this. What can I do? The chef should just be able to give you, all right, you're going to take this, this, and this. You're going to cook this for a certain amount of time. It's going to get the same consistency that you wanted from the actual thing that we use.
Okay.
Do that until I send somebody to the store so I can get it. That's why you want your chefs to do that. If you are, like, somebody that's, like, put in that position of, like, oh, chef's not here, we're out of this, we have a party of 25 coming, like, they already have pre-ordered
this shit,
your shit, and we don't have that, you got to kind of come up with something. Like, so, like, that's when, like, okay, I can't ask chef, I can't ask a manager, it's got to be me right now. Honestly, just run to the net, like, if it's like product that you're missing, run over to the restaurant next door
and just beg.
Yeah, Faggy's like, hey, we fucked up. I don't have anybody coming in. Can you help us out with this? Have, like, talk to one of the line workers, talk to a chef, talk to the general manager. They'll just either give it to you if it's something that they don't give a shit about, mm-hmm, or they'll just write freaking, like, a receipt and price everything. I was like, okay, you just owe us this much, so whenever you get your next order in, take that. Like, something simple like that. If it's anything outside of, I want to run out and grab something from somewhere else, don't try to improvise. Usually ends up not great. Something ends up not cooked all the way through, or it just doesn't taste right. And then you have like a secret shopper, or like we used to get corporate chefs that come in, like the regional chef for like the West Coast would come down to one of my restaurants, and like his whole goal is don't tell anybody that you're there. And then order one of everything, so they have to fucking panic. So if they cheat, I know which ones they cheated on, because it's everything has to taste the same regardless of wherever the hell you are in my region, because it's all the same menu.
Wow.
So yeah, no, he would do that, and so you can't cheat when like something like that happens. If you don't have it, don't have it.
Just talk don't
to
have it.
Yeah, you just don't have it. Talk to the general manager. They'll sort it out.
That. Don't yeah.
If you're back of house, always go talk to chef, talk to manager. That's it. You don't want to try to make those decisions. If you can, cool. Don't tell anybody you made those decisions. You will get in trouble.
Wow. To keep on the accuracy of media and the reality of the cooking world and the culinary world, my buddy had in his is actually his question, Travis's question. Ratatouille. He had it down there, so I want to make sure. What did Ratatouille get right and wrong?
Quite a bit correct as far as concept goes.
Okay.
Not one-to-one, but like old brigade-style kitchens, you do have like, all right, it's chef, sous-chef, chef de partie. Like you have those specific positions sorted out that all they're going to do is like their parts.
Oh, so that's menu. What Ratatouille was doing. It was like the old school.
Old school brigade-style like cooking is basically that. And you have... What was it? The little training montage that they did with Linguini?
Yeah.
Where, like, he's learning how to cook at home. Like, if you're passionate about it, you are going to take your work home with you.
Yeah. Right?
You're going to, like, and, like, that's another thing. What else? What else do they do, right? of the little stories about every person in the kitchen that, what the hell is her name? Florette?
No. Oh, Florette. Yeah, I know you're talking Baguette? About. The love interest. Yeah. It's Baguette?
Baguette. That's the love interest name, Baguette. I can't remember it.
Her name is Baguette.
She is so aggressively French. More French than the rest of the damn kitchen. But yeah. So when Baguette goes
she is so French, not even the streets can...
Yeah. Everybody else has a vaguely like American accent, even no. Even their sous chef.
But isn't the sous chef like German? Like, wasn't
yeah, he look? Yeah, no, he looked very German. Even like the only German you get out of him is no.
But the, like, but the love interest is like, no, she's Baguette.
Yeah, no, she's straight up Baguette.
That was her pet name from her dad.
It's either that or Croque Monsieur. Oh wait, Croque Madame. That's right. I'm sorry.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a little like stories that you get behind everybody. Like, oh, that guy killed somebody with his thumb. Or like, yeah, no, this guy, he bribes our vendors for like the good shit every time, stuff like
that. He gives them feet pics.
Essentially, like those little stories, that happens a lot, especially in older cooks. Like the older a cook is, the more they're gonna get away with shit because they will outlast your chefs.
Of course. Okay, we'll get to another question here because that was awesome. Speaking of okay, the particulars of cooking, not the front of the house, the back of the house. Mm. What is the specific difference, so our audience can know, between just cooking and then the plating part? Like, what is the big difference and what is needed for those two?
Cooking, time management.
Okay.
That is the main thing you need for cooking. As long as you can manage your time well, you don't need to know what you're doing outside of put that there. That is your Lego piece. You grab whatever product, you know, like, okay, I need a steak for this plate. Grab steak, put there. Leave it alone until you know that you have to, like, either turn it to get your diamonds, flip it when it's at a certain time for a certain temp. Same thing with, like, but that's, like, grill, flat top, fryers especially, is timing. Your sense of timing is everything there. Sauté, you can get away with timing, but there is a more technique where you have to like, okay, I got to make sure this shit doesn't burn. This has to keep moving at this rate so I can work this here. But yeah, that's the main thing is timing for plating. It's more, the rules that everybody goes by is tall for desserts, centralized for your main, like your main plate. It's always going to be, well, usually it's only three pieces, right? You have okay. your protein and then one side, one starch. Your starch generally is never considered a side unless it's like doubled up.
Right. Okay.
So like mashed potato, fry, baked potato, whatever that's generally what your starch is going to be, regardless of where you go. And then your side would be like your colorful greens would be like either a salad or what do I see on like Hawaiian plates a lot? That sexy macaroni salad.
Oh, yeah. Or the, oh, ramen salad. The ramen salad.
Noodle salads, like stuff like that. Your
and then
side
your protein,
is,
yeah.
And okay. then protein. Your side is always going to be the colorful one. Your starch is, okay. The starch is your base. And whenever you do your protein, in general, it's slightly overlapping your starch. You don't want it to sit on top of your side.
No.
Okay. In general. But it's always going to be very centralized. Try to keep it to three just for like ease of plating, makes it simple on everybody in the restaurant. Everybody can do it is the main thing.
Okay.
Like, and that's pretty much it. Everything else, it comes down to specifics at whatever restaurant you happen to be working.
What they want.
Yeah.
Now, when you mean by desserts tall, can you explain that to me? Like, what do you mean by tall for a dessert?
So for a dessert, because they're like the last piece that the guests are generally going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it, when I say tall, like it has to have, like it will have like height, right?
So okay,
like
it's a height thing. Like, okay, yeah. It's a legit height. Okay.
Yeah, like actually like tall. Like if it's a fruit piece, like, okay, you have strawberries, blueberries, whatever. It's very colorful. It looks more impressive as it's tall. For your desserts, you can get away with a lot more.
You know, that makes sense when you're saying that now, because when I've sat down at restaurants and had desserts, it's very... tall, it's a tall, it's right. a very like
even like when you get like ice creams, like if they'll come on a plate and then they'll have like another little specific ice cream holder on top of the plate that your ice cream is going to sit on, and then it's going to have like little treats or like sticks that stick on top. You're gonna have the extra your toppings mint. There, whipped cream, mints, all that crazy shit that just makes it look impressive. That's why you want.
Would you say the dessert has to basically peacock in a way, like really tall, fluff, like really show off something?
Like, not with all desserts, obviously, but like the one that you, the expensive one,
yeah,
has to be flashy, or like as flashy as it can be, while still being like plausible to bring to the table.
Would you say then, because, okay, let's say my mom cooks the same exact dish with the dessert, like all our moms at home, compared to the, you know, the 5-star Michelin star, you know, chef, the top of the dime, holy crap, you know, it really comes down to, for between the two, yes, they might taste a little different because you got the skill besides just mom love.
But I wouldn't even say skill, just different technique.
A different technique. Would you say then that the difference between the two is one is showing off why you're spending the money?
Yes.
Okay.
That's like that would be the main thing. If your mom can make a bomb baked Alaska with its like full like meringue that she can, that she does at home all the time, with an actual cage like of caramel on top. Like if she can do that, just not as like what you would normally expect a baked Alaska look. Like if you just have like a straight up 9-inch pan filled with like meringue to the bottom, it's toasted a little bit. It's got breaks of like caramel crunch in there. Like it's still a baked Alaska. It's just not. It's not being presented to you like here's your gift. Here's the reason why you want to come back later. Like, no, this is mom. Like, this is for you so you can live. I love you. Here you go, child.
Here's your tribute, my lord.
Yeah. Like your mom isn't gonna kiss out to you with like crazy plating unless like that's her thing. But it's gonna taste fucking amazing.
Okay, that's interesting. Travis had three questions, kind of like a series of questions, all the same one. First off, what is fine dining compared to, I'm gonna go grab some Taco Bell?
Fine dining compared to
No, but like that kind of stuff, like how people go like, oh, I'm gonna go get some food at like a
like what would be the delineation like of where you would see fine dining versus I can sit down here for a half an hour or whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Like that kind of fine. Like what is fine dining?
Well, one, the dress code.
Okay.
So that'll always be a thing. The more snooty they are, the more likely they're gonna have a dress code. So sometimes it'll be, oh, we just no hats. That's not, no hats doesn't mean fine dining.
Like, as I take my hat off.
Like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm laughing because I know how you feel about them.
But not fine dining.
No, I've seen people in fucking beat up Nikes there. Yeah,
that's what
I dressed up in a suit. I was like, what the hell?
They have a dress code.
Yeah, they have a dress code. Like it's like certain things. Yeah,
it's like you're not allowed to do that. Doesn't mean it's a fine dining restaurant.
Okay.
Everything there is plated for family style is how they do it. So like your potatoes au gratin, they all come in like large trays, very minimal work. Like for the bag of house, the bag of house loves it. The guys that I know that work there, they fucking love it because all they have to do is throw shit in pan, chuck it in the oven. You're done. They love it. Like the food in general is good.
But it's like end of watch. I kick doors down. Yeah. I kick doors down. All right. But
like when you see the delineation of for fine dining, it's different from America to Europe.
What would be the difference between an American like how about this then? The highest fine dining restaurant in America compared to that in Europe. What's the big difference?
Oh, like that. They would be about the same.
Oh, they would? Okay. Yeah,
because there's a certain point where you can't do any more extra to separate yourself from the rest of the dining world.
Unless you're giving out hand jobs.
Essentially. Like, unless the freaking maitre d' is sitting under your table, it's very good stuff. Little tug every time you take a bite, just to let you know he's there. A little tickle, just like, oh, are you enjoying your dessert, sir? Like adds to the experience, but yeah, no. The main thing
for fine dining is not just a dress code.
It would be what the dress code actually is.
Like the closer to prom you are, kind of thing. Okay,
and, yeah. The less it is concerned about actually eating food. Like some places do, like okay, here's a meal. It's going to be a smaller portion.
That's the one thing I think a lot of people know feel that stigmatism towards fine dining.
It's always gonna be a smaller portion. You're there for atmosphere. You're there for experience. And then you're there to
brag a little,
a little bit. And it's like flavor. I can't say shit on the flavor of fine dining places, because that every technique that they employ is to bring the most out of that flavor from whatever they're giving you. Like that, that would be like that thing is the amount of technique that's going to be put into every plate, atmosphere, experience, and how strict the dress code is going to be is a main like layman's terms of you, what you want to think of fine dining, but what separates fine dining from the rest of it.
That actually goes into what his second part of the question was, is fine dining worth it? And what am I getting besides good food? Oh. So basically it's just, you're getting that, like the basically the essence of the flavor you're eating, that yeah. the steak of what a steak is in the definition yeah. book of a fucking steak.
But you're not going to fill up.
No.
Yeah. You're going to experience proper like flavor. You're going there because you want to see you want to experience the technique that certain chefs have like created. That's what I see as the main difference in fine dining.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. And then the ending of the third part of this question, and you're going to love this one, is Olive Garden fine dining?
You asked me this before.
I have asked you this, is why I'm asking you. It's actually part of the question.
When I hear like Olive Garden, I think it's a Stouffer's restaurant. Essentially, you have maybe three dudes back there throwing everything they can into a microwave and then torching it either under like a under an actual grill or with a little what the hell are they?
A little blowtorch things?
Yeah, they're yeah. Brulee torch.
Yeah, brulee torches. Yeah,
just getting some color onto it, and then
that's Olive Garden to you.
That's Olive Garden to me, because
Stouffer's restaurant.
It's a Stouffer's restaurant.
But damn it,
they make it look pretty.
Their chicken fettuccine is amazing, man. The tour of Italy. It's like Italy in your mouth. It's the tour of Italy. I don't even have to go to the country anymore.
God damn it. I've never worked in an Olive Garden, but I have worked at a BJ's. And it's similar process. The majority of those items that everybody orders comes from their comes from their distribution center. So every one of their soups, every one of their
is pre-made,
sauces,
pre-packed, basically.
It's pre-made, pre-packed. It comes frozen. The first thing you do when you get in there is get our most expensive shit into a hot water and hope it's done by the time we open.
So
maybe you'll make a little bit of a gravy like from scratch. And like every other meat thing will be done there. But outside of that, the majority of your crap is going to be coming from a distro center, I believe somewhere in like either past Bakersfield or like Visalia, Tulare in California. So middle of nowhere, surrounded by Hicks.
So what you're telling me is Olive Garden really isn't family.
Yeah. They keep it in the family like the South keeps it in the family.
Hey!
I can say that. I'm going to be in Ohio soon. Fight me.
Okay, I got another question about the world here, and this is from our good buddy Travis again. Abuse in this industry. Now, we've heard it a lot. Now, not just like the inner, in the back of the kitchen, the front of the kitchen, but the overall abuse we've heard break into light from the news and what also the media has kind of showed and dramatized a bit. Mm. What is that like, and where do you think that originated from, the start from? Because every industry has its abuse. We all know that. Every industry has a level of abuse, whether physical, verbal, and then obviously the sexual. They all have that abuse. But specifically here in this industry, the overall restaurant business, really, what is that like compared to other places in your eyes? Because I feel like, to me,
you get a little bit of everything. It's your sampler, right? It is your tour of Italy, right? From management, you're gonna get like the emotional and verbal abuse constantly, especially if they know that you're good at your job and they want you to be there longer. That whole like, we're a family here, is like everybody's seen like those shorts, those memes, like, we're a family here, fucking leave. Like, those are the people that will, like, if their manager tells you that, they will abuse the shit out of you mentally. Like, no, you're like, like, I, yeah, no, we wanted to keep you longer, but if you weren't so shit, we could probably just give you more hours. But you know, like, you did good work for the couple you were here, though. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow, buddy. Remember, every day is a great day.
Hang in there.
Yeah, no, like, you'll get variations of that from men. Physical abuse usually ends up coming from your direct coworkers, depending on where you are and like what the size of your walk-in is. You could just be walking one day and then three dudes will pull you into the walk-in and like, all right, Fight Club. And then you'll just go. Like, if you have issues, settle it right now before you clock the fuck in. After you clock in, what's up, buddy? Hey, you want me to get you a Monster? You need a Red Bull, homie?
As your eye socket's tingling?
Pretty much. Like, so, that's just the mentality.
The walk-in is a therapeutic Thunderdome.
Essentially. Well,
because everyone walks out.
Everybody will go into the walk-in, like, to scream, to punch the walls, to punch your coworker, sometimes to do drugs.
Sometimes for sex, I've heard.
Sometimes for sex. It's not ideal. Unless there's, like, actual sacks of potatoes or rice. Somewhere where you can lean back. But, that is your...
Well, the yeast is brewing, right?
No, the yeast is freaking good. This is how you get it going. You do it on top of, like, some... Like, if they make soda there, like, that's how you get the churn going. That's how you get the carbonation on into the keg.
I love it. Okay, then here's another thing I was curious, because there's two distinctions, like you said, in the restaurant, front of the house, back of the house. Mm-hmm. Is there contention between the two? Can abuse arise across that two departments, for example?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, okay.
So there,
oh, here we go. I can see the smile.
There was a couple instances where one of my line men had to get let go. Like, a couple suspensions led to... straight up, like, me dragging him out of the restaurant because he got not significantly. Is that the correct word? Whatever. He got hella aggressive. All right.
Increasingly.
So, and, you know, every time that it came up to me, it was brought to me. He got worse and worse after the talk. I'm like, you can't fucking do that. So he started first, it started out with him trying to approach one of the server girls, which, like, in general, I don't care about, as long as, like, everything's consensual, everybody's having fun. Nothing happens at the restaurant, because then it becomes a health issue. But she, like...
We only produce one sort of soup here.
We don't need extra batter getting made, okay?
The icing's supposed to be cold when it's made. Okay, so he would start off... You think it sounded like it started off as fun flirtatious.
That's what I assumed the first time, because... That's generally what it is. If you're kicking it back there, like, anybody that's attractive that's in the back with cooks, not even just my cooks, with cooks.
In general, you're gonna get hit on.
You're gonna get hit on. Somebody's gonna flirt. They're flirting with each other throughout the day. Like, I had to make sure grab ass is kept to fucking, like, figurative and not actual grab ass on the line. But no, he's tried flirting with her before. She hasn't. She never brought it up, so it never occurred to me.
Of course, yeah.
Right. It happens when, like, her friends, her peers come up, is like, hey, what's a random word? What's a random name I can throw out there about bashing anybody?
Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Hey, Patty. Pat. Like, hey, Pat. Pat's been getting really he's been bothering lady
Stella. Named.
No, not Stella. That's my mom's cat.
Patricia!
Like, hey, Patrick's been, some of the flirts that he's been throwing at Patricia's way, like, I'm not feeling comfortable about it. Like, she's not feeling comfortable about it. Like, I have to hear it from her. Like, she doesn't want to talk to you about it because
it's uncomfortable. You know,
like,
it's
uncomfortable for her. Like, I understand that, but, like, I'll take what you're telling me into consideration. I'll talk to Patrick about it. I'll talk to Patricia about it separately. So, like, I get the full story from both of them. Like, thank you for letting me know. First instance, right?
Right.
Talk to Pat. I was like, no, man, I'm just trying to have some fun. Like, I know she's cute. Like, I don't, like, she seems to be throwing vibes my way. Like, okay, cool. Like, just keep it down to a minimum. Remember, we're trying to be professional here. Like, you're at work, so anything past something funny becomes freaking sexual harassment. He's like, okay, I get you, chef. Okay, all right, I get you. Yeah, cool. Talk to her. He's like, yeah, no, I'm just not really vibing with him. He's like, he'll say stuff, and then I'll smile just so he'll stop, and I can keep working.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, thank you. So, Mike, what I thought I did was the right call. Is like, keep it to a minimum. The next time it happens, I have to separate, like, either your shifts so you guys don't see each other, or just keep you, or get her a different position out in front, right? And then same thing with him. I'd probably have to put him into prep work in the back where he sees nobody at the front. If it happens again, I can't just do it like that. It's not fair to anybody. And then it becomes retaliatory from if I do it right off one.
Right. Oh, well, the EK.
Yeah. So that's the thing that you have to think about when you're in management. If you do certain things, it will be seen as retaliatory, especially in California, where management will get shit on from the labor board immediately, if not fired. So the second time it happens, I'm actually like doing my paperwork closer to the end of the night, right? Like, all right, getting the weights for everything that's getting trashed out, doing the numbers for my orders for tomorrow or for later in the week, like my normal closing bullshit. And nobody's eating up front. He's cleaning up his station. She is cleaning up her three areas that she has to do for front end. I never pay attention to what they have to do. I don't set their cleaning schedule. She's having trouble getting a trash can separated from the trash bag.
Oh yeah, we
so,
all do.
So like, he comes over and he like, I wasn't gonna say anything until he leaned into her hair and then whispered something that made her go nah. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah, arms up, shivers, and is like, I need to get away from you as a human being.
Wow. That was a fucking ass.
That's the second time. And I had to separate him at that point. And apparently, like, I thought that would be end of it. Like, okay, you two are on separate, completely separate shifts. Your days off are not going to be the same as his days off.
It all matches up now.
I can't have you around her because this is getting fucking weird. Like it's weird, it's gross, and I kind of want to punch you because she's a good kid.
Yeah, fuck off.
So.
Oh God, what happened at the end?
At the end, he comes in, this is like a couple months after the whole like, let me help you with that, and right in her ear, right? It was a couple months later. Apparently, he's been messaging her.
Ooh.
Like outside of work while she's not there, leaving her shit. Nobody is like trying to keep me in the loop about it because either they don't want to get him fired, and which pissed me off for my supervisors that I hired to keep my staff safe. They're like, we can't let him get fired. We can't say shit to the chef, but we have to keep him in check. Same thing with the front of house is he works really good. She kind of just has to put up with it until like either
that's what everyone was thinking
or he quits.
Wow.
Their whole thing, because he was well liked in general,
except for that moment.
except for shit like that. Like in general, very well liked, average looking dude, does his job well. Like kind like not a backbone. Like if you take him out, we're fucked. Because that's why we have chefs. If he's gone, I will step in. It's not a big deal. I can still do his fucking job.
Yeah.
It's because I'm on salary. I'm going to be there longer. But like that was the mentality of the whole of the restaurant is we need to keep this guy around because he's popular. And one day he just came in while she's on shift. She had either just gotten there or had been there for maybe an hour. And all I hear is yelling from the back. While I'm in the back doing paperwork in my office, I hear yelling. I hear screaming. I come in. He's got her in his arms. He's like, no, you're coming with fucking me.
Wow.
Like, holy yeah, no, shit. You're fucking fired now. We're going to go follow a pre-support. My fucking supervisors see me, see all this. It happened like, okay, yeah, chef, you're like, call the police right now. Grab the dude. I drag him back out. I get front of house managers. You need to fucking deal with your staff right now because she's fucking freaking out and she shouldn't have to deal with this shit.
No.
Like,
no one.
I'm dragging him through the fucking kitchen so everybody sees what he's fucking doing.
Right.
and what is going to happen to you if you fucking do shit like that to anybody in the goddamn kitchen. You are not grabbing anybody in that place unless you're fucking fighting. I have to say it like that because cooks will fight. I'd rather my cooks fight each other than somebody try to abduct somebody.
Yeah, of course.
I've heard that
chefs can get pretty it's like contention sometimes, but it's like needed to, it's like hockey for chefs.
Essentially.
Like they need a little bit of like a negotiation.
It escalated that.
Do you think the world of the restaurants, the culinary, that harassment, even though like I said, okay, happens everywhere. No industry's safe from it really, which is unfortunate, but Is it at a higher degree in the restaurant world, those harassment?
I want to say yes, but it not count as bias. But it feels like bias when I say, yeah, no, it happens. It feels like it's more pervasive in a restaurant industry just because, you are in close spaces with these people constantly. You guys are always, having some form of stress on you throughout your shift. Be it a rush, be it just a bad day or whatever. You guys are going to be around each other more often than you are going to be with your family, especially if you're like me and you're going to be there constantly to oh yeah, no, I can cover the rest of your shift for you. Oh no, I can close for you. Don't worry about it. I was there for 20 hours a day at one point where I'm just like, yeah, no, I got you because I want money. But those are the people that I consider them close, as close as family, just because of
the time.
Time, proximity we are with each other all day long, all night long.
Do you also think then, because I did In-N-Out for 4 years, and it's funny, that's how I met my wife, but I knew at In-N-Out there was a lot of grab-assing going around, consensual grab-assing, but it seemed like everyone was dipping their pen in everyone else's pen.
Sounds like theater.
Yeah, theater. And I'm a theater kid too. That's what's funny. But do you think that compared to the retail job we did together and then both of us being in the cooking world, do you think there's something that food being the main product just brings out that more in a sense of just the harassment such a different degree? Because food is supposed to be that nutritious comfort thing. Yeah. We all love food. No one does not like, you know what I mean? Everyone loves food.
Well, then again, also food is used to seduce people. Let me make you something.
So do you think there is that, where the harassment is at a different degree because it all involves food that we all like to put in us? I'm thinking of my time at there. There was a mixture while I was working in and out of, consensual, everyone was having fun flirting. Everyone was having close.
That's the culture that, you guys, created there.
It seemed like across the board in the company, not the restaurant I was at. It just overhearing when you talk to other people from In-N-Out, it's just the flirting is high and it's playful, but you hear stories where, it can get dark fast. Thankfully, it didn't sound like it did a lot, but I just know the flirting was on high all the time compared to other places I used to work at.
If that's how people make the day go faster, I guess.
Okay.
For me, depending on where I was at, it's different. If I'm if I'm cooking on the line and not in charge, I flirt with everybody just to get the day go by faster. That's just how I talk now. I try to stop it whenever I can because some people don't like that. It doesn't work in everyday life where you just walk around like, "What's up, baby girl?" I don't fucking know you. That's a fair point. I shouldn't say that to you.
What you're saying is, I flirt not because they're actually cute. I flirt to make the time go faster. Sorry, you're actually ugly.
They'll flirt back. We all, that's with the express, knowledge everybody has, when you're working in the kitchen or you've been in there for a while. We're going to flirt with each other. I'm playing if you're playing. Until you tell me you're not playing, we're playing. That's generally how most restaurants end up being.
And it's just to get through the bullshit.
Yeah, it's really just to get through the bullshit.
Do you think the bullshit is for sure way different than any other job in the sense of just customer interaction? It's fuck people. Fuck customers at the restaurant.
Versus regular
retail, just retail,
Like, I don't know, man. Freaking crab fishers and like deep sea fishers might have it a little bit harder to
shark eat them. Like, right? I don't know. I'd rather have a Karen throw her hot soup at my face for tasting too salty than a shark eating my leg.
Like pretty much, yeah. Like, I will say there is probably, like, compared to regular jobs, there is a higher likelihood that you can and may lose a finger. Just like, especially if, like, you're a bartender, you have, like, you get a little knife and you have to cut all your lemons and limes yourself. That's gonna suck. If you're cooking on the line and you want to get your shit out quick and you ask chefs, like, hey, can I leave? Like, now, like, finish your fucking prep list and you can dip. I don't care.
No.
Chef, I fucked up.
I finished,
but I fucked up. And then, like,
the white onions are now red onions.
Pretty much. Like, and then just people reaching into the sink if they don't put the fucking knives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, no. Like, chef, I'll start cleaning right now. Okay. Hand in the first sink. Chef, somebody fucked up. Knife through their hands like somebody else fucked up, and now I'm fucked. So, like, yeah, no, we do have a little bit of higher risk compared to regular people. So
here, okay, how about this? And then another type of abuse that we see a lot that I feel, for example, once again, that the media may over-exaggerate or gets it right. Not the cussing at, because I feel like every job people get cussed at, either in fun or just that one moment, but the talking down to, like, what is that like in this industry, in this world?
It's
like, when you fuck up, it's like, dude, you messed up on the slicing tomatoes. Do it again. It's more like this. That's why your dad's dead, because you can't slice tomatoes, like that kind of degree in the kitchen.
Because when I started, I didn't know what I was doing. And every time somebody, like, there would be people that would, like, pussyfoot around, like, oh, you know, we usually do it this way, or like, hey, you know, like when I do it, I do this way. Like, look, just if I fuck up, tell me I fucked up.
Yeah,
that was me. That was me in the kitchen. Like, if I fuck up,
tell me,
mm-hmm. Tell me how I fucked up and how I get better at it. Is it supposed to be this way or this way? I don't give a shit about your preference. How am I supposed to do it the way that they wanted me to do it? Like, that was me. So, like, if I fucked up from then on, Angel, what the fuck is this shit? That was usually what I would get. I was like, thank you for catching that.
Did you ever see anything that crossed the line of, like
as far as, like, that kind of shit,
like,
goes?
Talking down. Is that prevalent in the state?
Oh, yeah,
law?
No. So the further removed the, like, especially in corporate. So when you have a regional manager or chef come through, or the research and development chef come through because you just happen to have the best kitchen.
That's a real job title, research and development chef?
An R&D chef.
Okay.
I did a bit of that for the Honda Center for a while. So that was fun. It wasn't anything crazy. It was only for, like, hey, we need new menu items. What the fuck can you come up with?
Go Ducks.
That's essentially what an R&D chef is.
Okay.
Is we need something that's going to taste great and look good. What can you come up with? So, like, when you have R&D chefs, they do not give a shit. They come in, they will say hello to everybody, be super polite, and then you leave them alone. If you get your regional chef in there, that, like, depending on how involved they want to be,
because
I've had regional chefs that will step on the line with me during, like, service, and we're getting crushed. And he's like, all right, what do you need me to do, brother? Like, cool dude that I met from one of my last gigs. But then you've also had, like, I've also had a chef where we're in the weeds. Everything is fucked. Fries are burning. We have plates that are on, like, 50 fucking minutes because one person forgot to do one thing. And nobody communicated it. And all you have is your regional chef over there. Like, this is why you fucking people can't get a real fucking job.
Damn.
This is why I'm fucking better than you. Like, that, like, his advice, like, this particular chef's advice to other supervisors that were, like, trying to get up in the company was, make sure everybody else feels like shit. Because if they feel like shit, they can't do their job better than you. All you have to do is make sure they feel like shit and you will stand out.
Wow.
So, yeah. No, I hated this dude.
Fuck that guy.
So, like, again, it just depends on the person that happens to be in charge or that's going to be doing the down talking. you'll have people that like, yeah, no, it's like, okay, this is where you fucked up. Here's how I want you to do it so you're better at it next time. Constructive, straight to the point. For me, that's more my language. I don't need you to go, all right, so instead of this, we're going to do that. You did it wrong. Here's how we fix it.
Right.
Okay, chef, that's good. Thank you, chef. And then you do have the guys that will come up behind you like, if you can't fucking get this chicken right one more fucking time, I will drag your ass to the back myself and fucking fillet you, you piece of shit. Like, I think that's, like, that kind of mentality, like, kind of stems from, like, what we, like, used to see a lot from, like, Gordon Ramsay and shit like that. Like, that his whole thing was, you fucking donut, blah, 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 like Angry Chef. It makes for great TV. But in general, that's not how he's actually going to be to, like, the people making his food. If you see him, like, in, like, recent, like, Hell's Kitchen shit, like, he will still play it up a bit. Like,
but you can tell that he's playing it up.
He is playing.
But that's not real how real.
That's not how, like, you expect or, like, how a real chef would actually treat somebody. Right?
Okay.
Like, again, like, these are people that you know that for, like, years at this point where, like, hey, I know you're having a rough time with this. Let me coach. Let me help. What do you need? Like, so, like, depending on the abuse really is depending on how far attached that chef is from, like, from their kitchen. If they're at somebody else's kitchen, they can blow the fuck up and you have no idea why. You might never see them again, but they can be a piece of shit asshole. Just because I don't know any of you, I don't know what to expect from any of you, except this. I need you to do this well, and you're not doing it well. Like that is how I operate. Not how I operate, but that's how I, like, make it make sense for other people. Is somebody else just coming in and the stranger being mean is really what it boils down to for when I mostly see that down talking, that those disparaging, like,
trying to break a moments. Soul.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I have a question now. In the more the aesthetics of the world, I've noticed recently in the past, I feel like the past 10 years, 10, 15, chefs, for example, all of them are tatted up. Is that just part of that culture being when you're a chef? When you're in the back, it's just you have all these tats? Like the arm, the hand tattoos, all that stuff, sometimes, like, on the neck, you
yes
know?
And no. Like, it
just seems to be like, yes, I might bring it
like,
up.
When I started... that burgeoning part of that culture, of tattoo culture for the cooking world. Like, Anthony Bourdain was still with us. Right? He said it best, like, the kitchen is the best, is like the last refuge for pirates, for degenerates, for jackasses and numbskulls. Right? Like, you can express yourself any sort of way. And, like, again, depending on which restaurant, if it's corporate versus whatever, if it's an open kitchen where, like, the guests can see the people making their food and shit, like, you may or may not be allowed to have tattoos. You may just have, like, you may be tatted the fuck up, but you have to cover everything up, like, sleeves. There was one dude that I worked with that was, like, neck tattoos all the way around, and he had a skull tattooed onto his, well, like, the
jawline?
Yeah, like, his damn. Jaw was a skull. Or, like, the jaw of a skull, I guess. But, yeah, no, it looked like bone. It looked really cool. Open kitchen, he can't have that while he's cooking because the guests can see him. Like, okay, so he wore, like, the fancy freaking compression masks. Damn. Like, that during his whole damn shift. He came out sweating like a fucking pig, but, like, as soon as he got off, show off his tats. Everybody had, like, a knife tattoo. Some people would have, like, some religious cooking tattoos.
Right.
Fork and freaking tongs as your cross or, like, your, or as, like, a
sextant.
That's
a cool one.
Sextant. Yeah, no, it's cool. Like, tongs just open facing down. Culinary fork just, like, right through there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, no, it's a sextant. And then, like, you have the nautical star and, like, actual, like, cardinal directions. There we go.
All right, here's another question now for the front of the house. Why is it that just on general, every waitress is gorgeous? As an overall general, just, you know, every waitress or hostess, you're just like, damn,
because that's the first person you see. The person that hired them to do that job
made sure.
Yeah, they made sure. It's like, okay, you are just ridiculously attractive. Do you have any skills that you want to bring up before I start judging you? That is one general manager
so,
I know.
So really, like when it comes at the waitress and the hostess, you're like this. Okay, she's hot. Please have something else. Please have a technical skill.
Yeah, no, because when like host is usually like one of the first beginner gigs that like if you've never worked in a restaurant and you've like this is one of your first ones. Oh yeah, you're gonna apply to be a host. You don't have to do much.
No.
You stand there. You greet the guests. You get your menus and you walk them to the table. Just try not to fall. All you have to do is look pretty. Like even for, especially for the men, if you look fucking pretty, like you keep that jawline just like you're viewing all day long. You've got a freaking moisturizing routine and everything. Your goal is to look pretty, so they when people come in, they feel happy. Same thing with your servers. Like if they come up to you, they're pretty, they're attractive. And they have, like, depending on where you're at, like, they have a nice voice that makes sense for the establishment. Like, yeah, I'm going to want to come back here because they, like, I like looking at them, definitely, especially old cats. Like, old men will just show up for, like, specific servers. I know that, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That happens all the time. Look,
I've heard of that.
Is Janine working today? Like, oh, no, she's not today. Oh, I'll be back tomorrow, then. You guys have a good one.
He only eats if Janine works.
Yeah.
He just like, starves at home like, and whittles away.
It sucks, but it is like 90s advertising at its best. Sex sells back in the 90s. Like, but that is, like, that's what you, that's generally what front of house manager wants is if you have to look attractive. You have to smell good. You have to keep your, like, you have to be groomed at, like, well if you want to be a server. Like, even minimally. It's easier for I'm not gonna lie, it's easier for guys. All you have to do is just not smell like shit and keep your and like either be clean shaven, clip your nails. That's all we want from you as a dude. Because more often than not, you're gonna show up high and go, "Hi, welcome. What can I get for you guys?" And you're just gonna sound sexy. It's not like you're not doing anything extra. You just sound sexy.
Weed makes you cute and sexy.
Just the way you sound. Okay. Even like with ladies, like it. It differs a lot for them. Like, I can't speak for a lot of it, but they, like, either they're, like, prettied up because they want to, or they're prettied up because I know I'm going to get more tips.
Yeah.
Like that is your goal. If you want to make more tips, you have to put in effort to look pretty. Like, that, like, that's just the
thing. What would you say for all the female servers? What is the one hairstyle that you, is like the, that's getting the tip? Like,
oh, dear.
Is it the ponytail?
Like one universal hairstyle?
Yeah, what do you think like the hairstyle seems to be like the make it rain hairstyle?
Like, I'll give you a few because like just for different themes of restaurants.
Okay.
Like barbecue, country style, like restaurants. You want that ponytail or like the pigtails?
Yeah, you want that.
Right? You want something that like shows off your whole face and like it gives those perverts at the bar that have been drinking while like, damn. Them handlebars look good. Like it's unfortunate, but it does work.
Is that okay?
For like cafe style, like a gastro pub type deal. Like, oh, we come in, like we want, like it's very mellow sitting, very like modern look, like nothing too crazy, lights are dim. You want something that's either like to one side or like slick back. Mainly because, like, with the lighting, you want to show off. You still want to show off most of your face,
right?
As a server, like, even, especially for the dudes, it goes for both ways. So, guys, ponytails.
What about for an Italian restaurant?
An Italian restaurant? Oh, geez. The one that I see at Olive Garden, like a bob. You don't like if it's all for most other places because like Italian restaurants in general, like in. America that I've seen is like well lit. It's nothing where like
it's bright.
Yeah, it's bright enough to where you don't have to do a whole lot extra. Like a simple bob will get the job done, or like a wolf cut, depending on like your proclivities.
What would you say about steakhouses?
Steakhouses?
Is they the same, like a tight bun, a bob?
Like yeah, like a bun.
A bun.
A bun, or like maybe the like your with like poofy bangs, something high.
Okay.
That like shows off just enough forehead, but it's mainly showing off like, okay, cut off like an inch or so above your eyebrows so they can see your face. Some shit like that. It's mainly the face. As long as you frame your face well, it doesn't matter what hairstyle you do. Because that's your thing as front of house. You are the face of the restaurant. You are who's going to be interacting with people. Because I can do whatever I want in the back.
Of course, yeah. The back don't give shit. Yeah,
no, nobody's going to see me unless like I get upset and come out and like no modifications.
Yeah, no soup for you.
Essentially. But like, if you're going to be with guests, you have to show your face just because like this is going to make you more money and it's going to make people want to come back, especially if you're pretty.
Or as Bernie Mac said in Ocean's 13, raise those skirts about 3 inches.
Only ever wear loud skirts. Get them boys in dresses, god damn it.
Here's
show
a
off them legs.
I got a series of questions, and you're going to remember this because I used to ask you this all the time when we were working at Meat Together. Damn. You remember these questions? Yeah. Okay. What is, in your opinion, the best dish to serve? Like, across the board, it's just a knockout.
Steak and fucking potatoes.
That's it, huh?
Steak and potatoes. It doesn't matter what kind of steak, what kind of potatoes.
Just steak and potatoes.
Steak and potatoes. You can't go wrong unless they're vegan / vegetarian / like pro-life, I guess.
What is the best appetizer?
The best appetizer? All right, so personally, I like crunchy and light. Like, it has to be like 3 or 4 pieces of something, right?
Yeah.
So like cheese, mozzarella sticks probably, just in general, because I love cheese. Like, deep fried cheese is fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah, I agree with you.
But it's light enough to where I can still eat the rest of my fucking meal. Like, that's, I can give you guidelines for the best shit.
It just gets the stomach going, kind of thing. So light and crunchy. I like that.
Like, it's enough to get your appetite working because they're going to let you sit there for another 5 minutes before your food shows up. Ooh. So you're
just there. You're excited. You're excited now.
And you're ready to go.
What is the best vegetable?
The best vegetable? That cuts out a lot. Well, potatoes aren't a vegetable.
Okay, fine. You and me, like the green. What's the best green?
The best green?
Leafy or not?
The best green. Shit, watermelon. The outside is green, so I get away with that.
So why watermelon?
So whenever you do like a dessert plate or a fruit plate, so your front end and back of your 3-course meal, right?
Yeah.
You can do watermelon works for both sides. Sometimes, like especially a few years back, everybody was doing the honey and soy sauce glazed grilled watermelon or some shit. So like it works in all three spots, but watermelon just happens to be the best because it holds its form better. So you can do a whole lot more with it. You can use the rind just for decoration. Everything on the inside, it can be used. You can do it for drinks. Like, I love a watermelon because it works for everything that you need. You probably can have a whole restaurant dedicated
to watermelon.
Dedicated to watermelon. As long as you build around it, that will work.
Okay. What is the best dessert?
The best dessert? Lemon meringue pie.
Ooh, I love that.
It's tart. It's bright. It's sweet. And like it's tall, it can all like it fits all the things that you want. Like if you're making a fucking menu and you want a dessert that fits all the criteria you need that you can do well consistently, lemon meringue pie.
So if there was a food truck out there that just did mozzarella sticks, watermelon, lemon meringue pie, and potato and steak, it's gonna kill.
Yes. I will be an investor in that. Fuck yeah.
It'll just be called Angel's Choice. Okay, here's a good one. Sparkling or distilled?
Distilled. I've taken to sparkling recently. Like, don't do just distilled. If all you drink is distilled water, you will die because you are missing very, very, very many important nutrients and minerals that regular water has for you.
Yeah.
Like, okay. It's a nice cold, like, if it's something where it's hot day, like today, I would prefer a nice cold distilled liquid death. That is my go-to water.
All right. I got one more. Oh. What is the best bird?
The best bird?
The best poultry. Like, what? Which bird is the best on the plate?
So, I do want to say duck.
Okay.
I want to say duck, but it's not.
Why? Well, why do you want to say duck?
Because you can cook duck like steak.
Interesting, really?
Essentially.
You can, okay.
So, like,
did not know that.
Like, with duck, you want a little bit of rosy color in it, especially, like, if you want, like, a presentation, like, for something a bit more higher end.
Okay.
Like, duck, in general, like, cooks, like, you would treat it like a steak. You want it to a certain temperature. You want rosy color into it so it looks pretty, that nice crisp crust. You can separate the skin from that and just, like, crisp that up on its own. Use it as its own piece on the plate for that main. But it's, like, that's why I want to say duck.
What
the best
is
answer? Chicken.
Is it really just chicken?
For the cost and for what you can do with it overall, yes.
It's just chicken.
It's just chicken. You know what? Everybody knows what they're going to expect with chicken. Everybody knows. And, like, so if everybody knows what they're going to expect, you can
lower,
subvert that.
So you're saying lower risk, higher reward.
Yeah, it's low cost, low risk. As long as you don't undercook the damn chicken.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, everybody's happy.
That's interesting. Okay, so it is just chicken. I was thinking that,
too. And, like, was it? There's a lot more, like, solo chicken restaurants.
Like, yeah, true. Dave's Hot Chicken.
Yeah, everybody's going crazy. Dave's Hot Chicken.
El Pollo Loco.
Pollo Loco.
KFC.
There's some places that I've seen online that I really want to go to in England.
Ooh.
Where they have, or like all they do is chicken, like either chicken sandwiches, they do chicken salads, but it's like Asian inspired. So you'll have like kimchi, sourdough, and then chicken burger.
Ooh, I so like a like, chicken burger. You can't go wrong with that.
Like stuff like that. It's still just chicken, but everything that you can add to it, it just brings it up a whole nother level. That's why chicken will always be number one.
Two more food questions.
Okay.
What is the best pasta noodle? You know, you have fettuccine, you have bow tie, you have rigatoni, you have penne, you have angel hair. What is the best pasta noodle just overall?
Overall? I'm trying to think here.
Do, 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 do.
Fucking spaghetti.
Really?
Yeah, you can get away with regular spaghetti on basically anything. Like, it'll throw people off, and then you'll have people complaining, like, that's not... That's not how it's supposed to be. You can make carbonara with any fucking pasta. Pasta is interchangeable. You're not going to get a whole lot of different taste. It's literally just, this is the shape I like. Like, granted, there's a lot more science behind it. Like, oh yeah, no. So if you're going to have a wide pasta, it's going to be great for something creamier just because it holds up. There's more surface area for everything to hang on to. Or like, oh, you want to do bow tie or ravioli. Sometimes you're going to fucking fry them onto a pan just so, like, you get a little bit more crispness.
Yeah.
Some structure, whatever. Mm. Any extra shit, like, that happens with pasta is all caveats. If you just want to make a pasta place.
Just spaghetti is all you need.
Yeah, spaghetti is all you need to get started. It's, again, low cost, and you works with fucking everything.
Okay.
Like, you can prep a bunch of spaghetti ahead of time, throw it in water. It's, like, for me, it's at that perfect size, width, and like everything to where you could throw it like everywhere else. You can throw it in water for like hot water for like another minute. It's good to go. You can prep more of it than everything else. You don't need to do any extra special thing to it. You don't need to make sure that they're separated like with some pasta noodles.
Oh, okay. So spaghetti really is just universally
it's perfect,
almost.
Yeah, it's basically perfect pasta for literally everything. Everything else is like has extra caveats to it that make them a bit more finicky to work with.
Last one.
Yeah.
What is the best fish?
This is tough because I do like sushi, and some sushi fish is not great for like actually cooking.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. Like, yeah. So what would for cooking though? Well, because that's majority of people are going to want to cook. What is the fish?
the best, like best overall for cooking, something that's a bit more universal, would either be it's going to be halibut or salmon.
Interesting, those two.
Yeah, well, like I prefer like a monkfish, like it's like meatier fish. I prefer just because I like it's a better texture for me.
Okay.
But like if you're talking like price overall, so like actually, so like it's easily accessible to whatever restaurant and whoever in general.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon and halibut have some of the lowest costs that you can get. They're basically everywhere. They're both relatively stable as farm fish. So like it's really hard to like take away from those. They might not be like the greatest fucking thing like that people have tasted, but they're very accessible and not going in, like it's not a like a extinction level type thing if you get them. Oh, like freaking like when you look at tuna, like tuna is so very overfished.
Yeah, we all know that, right? Yeah,
and like because of tuna fishing, like you will get, like, it affects other fucking sea life, too. Porpoises and dolphins end up in freaking chopped tuna places, which is unfortunate.
Okay.
Except for dolphins, because dolphins are assholes. Type in bad dolphin. Actually, no, if you type in bad dolphin, you might get bad dragon related. Dolphin did bad.
Just type that in.
Yeah, type that in.
All right, so halibut and salmon.
Halibut and salmon.
Now, a bonus question, and this is for my dad, because he always brings this up about certain restaurants. Bonus question. Coke or Pepsi product?
Ooh. Ooh.
For the restaurant. My dad always brings that up. He's like, I like this place because it has Coke products. I'm like, I don't want to go there. It doesn't have Pepsi product. We're going to, if it's to go, it's fine because I'm not going to stay there and drink. If it's going to sit there, I want Coke.
That is a good one. Damn.
Remember, this is for my father.
I don't want to support Coke because Coke is a bunch of assholes. But they do have significantly more products that are available to a wider base of people.
So the restaurant should have Coke product,
like,
over Pepsi.
Not should have. Like, I want them to have both. Fuck you. They should get both.
This is America. You have to choose.
I choose both because this is America. If I want my 32 fucking pound bucket of chicken to be my fucking soda cup afterwards, you bet your ass I will. I can have both and you will like it.
Travis, he had a question, one of his last question.
Oh.
For the employees in the fine dining restaurant world, so not just the restaurant world, but the high-end one, for these employees, when these employees go out to vote, what do they consider in regards for their work when they cast their ballots in?
So, what was it? Front of house. Well, in fine dining, you generally don't have tipping. So, front of house workers most likely won't vote for anything that will involve like anything involved with a tip tax or whatever, like, because it just does not affect them. Like, you do get a healthy mix of people, but they generally involve, like, front house generally votes like left leaning.
Okay, they do.
In general, yeah, just because there's so many more people that you will see in front of house that are LGBTQ+, that are just like a bit weirder. Or that have a lifestyle that that is more indicative of like, oh yeah, no, like I have like 3-4 roommates and we're struggling in this 1-bedroom apartment.
Okay, so that's for okay.
Like, yeah, like so, they have a general lifestyle of like we like things end up being left leaning, like we need like more tax for this, and this, blah blah blah. But yeah, that's generally what I see. In the back, you see more right-leaning, just because everybody is old as shit. So you will see more boomers working in the back than you will the front, unless you have like that one work mama that's in the front, that's just, like the oldest server that's been there, that's like, oh, you're sweetie, let me get you a lemonade, are you okay, it's hot back here, I'm sorry, like that kind of mama that you'll see in the front. She'll probably still vote right, but like, but again, it's indicative of her age. Like people in the back just happen to be like,
older,
so they're going to vote like
more Republican,
based. More Republican, conservative. People in the front are usually younger, so a little bit more left leaning, more centrist, liberal.
Okay.
So
that's usually how the political spectrum goes for that. Yeah. Interesting.
Like you'll pick it up as people are talking, like in the back in between tables. Especially the old guys talking about the one queer server that they don't know what their gender is. Like, I don't know if it's appropriate to use that F word over the L word. Or is it the D word? What's a slur that will offend you appropriately, young person?
Tell me, I want to be bigoted.
If I'm going to be a bigot, I'm going to do it correctly.
Like my daddy taught me.
Exactly.
And the names of Jesus. All right.
Yeah, that's generally how politics works for them. The younger you are, the more you're going to vote left.
That's just, okay. It's a general thing, really.
It doesn't change that much, like, for the rest of the world.
As we get towards the end of this interview, and once again, thank you for taking the time out of your day for this. What would you say to someone who says, one, it's a two-parter now because, like I said, the restaurant's broken into two departments. So this is basically a two-parter. What would you say to someone who wants to be a chef, who wants to cook? What would be your words of advice? Or would you just say, don't do it?
Like, if that is your passion and that's something you want to do, you can get away with not going to culinary school and get a chef title for work. Like, that's essentially what I did. I didn't go to culinary school, but I've had the job title of chef. If you want to go and be great or have a better understanding of cooking so you can progress further, like possibly own your own restaurant or you're creating new cooking techniques, you should go to culinary school. But if you're going to go to culinary school, get a cooking job. Like, it's going to suck doing both, but that way you have the experience in the kitchen where you can handle high volume. You know how to cheat when you can cheat. And you can cheat more effectively because you have that better understanding. You can get away with flavor combinations that shouldn't work, that make up to what you need for that plate, blah, blah, blah. And like that lets you just experiment a bit more. So if you do want to like be a chef, go to culinary school, get a cooking job, experiment, have fun. That's what your food is going to be. That's how you grow.
Okay. And then what would you say to someone who wants to just be a server? Just to get a job. Like, I'm going to go get a waiter or waitress job. Bartend, like that. What would you say?
That for me, that's a bit tougher just because I never really did it. But from what I've seen, don't stay there too long. If you're going to go get if that's going to be your primary source of income, then yeah, find a place that has really good clientele, make friends, but you want to stay there for a long time to build your regulars.
That's where the money comes in, your regulars.
If your career is going to be waitress, server, whatever, front of house, pick a place and stick there for a while, but pick a place that has good enough traffic that you see is going to last a long time just being there, where you can build regulars. If you're just looking to make like money over the summer, pick somewhere high volume that you're not going to miss after that summer. That's pretty much the main thing. And don't pick fine dining if you're going to be a server. You will not get tips. They do not tip.
It's a trap.
you will get like a decent hourly rate, but you will most likely not get tips. If anything, if you like, you want somewhere middle ground. So like CPK is like, I consider a nice middle.
Okay.
Or Ruth's Chris also is another nice middle as far as people working. They do have like included gratuity, shit like that, where it's already like you're guaranteed extra money no matter what.
Interesting.
Like if it's money, make money. Think about the money.
Yeah.
Outside of that, don't make it where it's gonna hurt you in the long run.
By the way, folks, we are on the move right now while doing this interview. There's some grounds crew around us once again because we're at a park. Still trying out the new microphones. Hopefully this goes out better than the last time.
Oh, these are new for you.
They're still working out. Yeah, this is our third time using them for this podcast. Geez. Yeah. Aren't you a treat and special?
I do feel special now.
Now,
the special microphone, the special education.
So to finish off this interview, I wanted to have fun and do a little quick of a lightning round. I'm going to name off places and just want your quick opinion about them.
I'm going to piss off a lot of people.
It's going to get fun right now. Ready?
All right, go for it.
Okay. Olive Garden.
Shit.
Just shit. It's just shit.
If I can avoid it, I will. If somebody invites me to it, I'll go. Just to talk shit. And breadsticks. Best part is breadsticks. Best part is
Cheesecake Factory.
Nice. I actually like it. 10 out of 10. Not for like, oh, it's going to be like super fine dining. For the amount of food that they give you, the variety that you can get, and the service and speed that come out of that place, it's a 10 out of 10 just on that. I will have a good time because the food is decent and I'm not waiting for half an hour.
BJ's.
Shit. Their prime rib is decent. The Pizookies are okay. I don't like the general atmosphere of frat boy place. The experience is shit. The food is decent. Not shit, but 6 out of 10.
El Torito.
That's nostalgia right there. 7 out of 10. Better than BJ's just because of the nostalgia.
California Pizza Kitchen.
5 out of 10. I don't expect a whole lot, but the tables will be clean, and I will definitely get a pizza.
Ruth Chris.
Ass. It's just ass. If you're going to charge me that much for a fucking steak, at least do more to it than fucking throw butter at it and stick it in the goddamn oven. I love the people that work there, but not everything has to be family style, you lazy fucks. Plate my damn food properly if I'm going to pay that much.
Islands.
Islands the burger. Burgers?
Yeah, Islands Burger.
Ooh. Ooh. This lightning round is taking a lot longer than I thought. 6 out of 10. Decent burgers. Like decent burgers. I will say that.
Lucille's.
8 out of 10.
Yeah, I think Lucille's is pretty good.
Damn good barbecue.
It's actually good. It's not bullshit.
Yeah. Some of the barbecue places that I worked at, I've had my servers go, I like our food, but Lucille's is fucking bomb. One of them brought in fucking her to-go bag from Lucille's and ate it in front of me. And it's just nice. I'm like, yes, it's just nice, but it's not too crazy on their rubs to where like some barbecue places will like, oh yeah, we got the best rub in town, blah, 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 blah. They've added three other things that nobody's ever going to taste unless you actually know barbecue. Lucille's does everything to a good standard and a good base to where like, okay, that's the bar for my barbecue. For like basic ass barbecue, that is the bar. I'm not looking for anything crazy. I'm not looking for anything that's going to blow my mind.
You just want it in your belly.
If I want it, yeah. If I want barbecue, I'll just go to Lucille's real quick.
Okay.
Like it's a good go-to. So, yeah.
Red Robin. Is it not yum or is it yum?
7 out of 10. Their sauces that go on their burgers are better than the actual burgers.
Okay. Ooh, speaking of burgers, Ruby's. You don't see those much around as much.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I missed that. It's like Johnny Rockets. I don't see those around.
I know what happened to Johnny Rockets, right?
For the atmosphere and the vibe, like 8 out of 10. For the actual food, 5. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to go out of my way to go get it, but I'm not going to complain.
Okay. Applebee's.
The culture that they have started.
And the song?
And the damn song.
Applebee's on a date night. Oreo shake.
Like, I appreciate that it's there. I hate that it's gotten that kind of popularity. 4 out of 10. The food is decent. I'm not going to complain. I will complain about some food.
About some, okay. Okay.
But I don't go there.
A final question. I asked this for Travis because he is very curious.
How many final questions does he have?
As many as he wants. He's not here.
All right, fair enough. If he can't ask himself, that's fair enough.
I know, right? I'm here for him. He wanted me to ask this because of your opinion on Ruth Chris. Where is the best steak you can get?
The best
steak? Like, what is the best steakhouse?
Oh, the best steakhouse? Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know if I can pick one. None of the steakhouses I've gone to have done anything super crazy to where, like, I have, like, this is, like, I don't have a bar for a steakhouse.
Oh, wow. So it hasn't been that good recently?
It's not that it just hasn't been that good recently. It's the price to my enjoyment of the plate is not, it so far hasn't been worth it. Like, I would rather go to a Denny's for $20, right? I'll pay $20 for an okay steak that I know is going to be okay.
So basically coming down to is like this, just cook your own damn steak.
Yeah, cook your own damn steak. You are your best steakhouse. You wow. know how you want it.
Okay, interesting.
Like, I would much rather pay $150 for tomahawk steaks that I'm going to cook.
And now my final question, Angel.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah. Aside from the extra, like, people around. Yeah.
We're still working on buying a studio for the podcast.
I thought you had a garage.
We used to have stuff. Now we're in the market. All right, well, once again, thank you for joining us on Give Us the Launch Codes. Anything else you'd like to say before we close it out about fine dining?
Oh.
We're still running away from the leaf blower, everybody. It's been following us.
He knows what we're doing. As far as fine dining goes, like, if you have the money, do it. Like, go... Oh, no, there's more of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been bottlenecked by two leaf blowers.
Now, fine dining, if you have the money, if you have the time... Definitely do it. Just so you can experience it, so you can form your own opinions, so you can experiment and educate yourself. Do you want to go? Do you want more fine dining? No, because this shit was expensive. Then you don't have to do it ever again. Do you want more because it was crazy and you kind of, it's like sparking some foodie in you? Then yeah, keep going, keep finding more spots.
Do you think it's a little overhyped as the first date choice?
Oh God, yeah. Like, for a first date, I'm not going to drop $400 on you.
I don't know you. But I don't know you.
The reason we're having a date is so I can figure out if I like you.
We're going to Del Taco.
Not even Del Taco. Like, if we're going on a first date, it's either I'm going to make something because it's hella cheap. We're going to go on a. We're either going to go on a walk or a picnic or whatever. Or I'll just take you to the library so I can see if you actually read.
Damn.
If you can't read, then I'm probably not going to have any more fun than you will.
All righty. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks again for joining us. Means a lot. Best of luck to you in Ohio. I'm going to miss you.
I
love you, man. Take care.
Bye.
Now, I want to offer a correction. Her name was Colette, not Baguette, not Cock Monsieur.
I mean, her nose is pretty distracting, so I completely forgot her name. The Cock Monsieur, though, is kind of on point when you think about it.
I've seen that movie. Well, clearly, I've seen Ratatouille more than you two have. Probably more than you two combined. So
I think it's just I didn't pay attention to her name, honestly, out of everyone else. I was just focused on Ratatouille. On Remy. Was the rat's name? Is it Remy?
His name is Remy.
Yeah, I was focused on that Remy more than rat. Anything. But yeah, so I hope you enjoyed it. Just a little look into the fine dining world.
Yeah, a little disappointed by the steakhouse recommendation.
I knew you would be.
Although I do cook some pretty good steaks when I have some ribeyes on.
Well, as he said, basically overall steakhouses are just a scam. They really are. And there's, I mean, when you're cooking steaks of any cut, it's just, yeah, anyone can do it. I mean, people just add too much butter and flavor, but really it's like, as he put it, steakhouses are kind of a scam.
It's more vibe than anything.
It's more of a brag. Steakhouses are just a brag. It really comes down to that. So that's it.
You got a sponsor for this?
No, because remember we did it out of the office when we do interviews. We're out of the office for the interviews. So
that's
no.
Right. Yeah. Forget that rule.
But maybe, because I see with this new setup we got, maybe we'll start doing our interviews here because now we can do them together.
So by the way, just in case you didn't know, I got ourselves a new mixer setup.
And Tater Tot loves it.
Yeah, Tater Tot.
This is his jam. Like, he loves this thing.
All right. Well, great interview.
Thank you, man. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Yeah, it was fun to do it. What you did. I get why you did it. It was fun.
Yeah. I wish I was there. It sounded like it was a really fun conversation.
Oh, he's hilarious, that guy. So, yeah, for our next one, we can now do it together because of the setup. We're mobile. We can do it anywhere. We should do it on the roof.
I don't know how to get to this roof, but a roof would be cool.
All right, folks. Well, that's it. You know, forgive us the launch codes in our second interview. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis.
Good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Bye, everyone.